Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Mountain High Appliance presents Training Camp 2022. Ready to ride. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, I like this. Turn that up. Good way to wake up. Welcome to it. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Morning, Mark Schlereth.
Good morning, Michael. How are you, buddy?
Well, let me just start by saying I was convinced you were going to be responsible for my nightmares last night.
No.
That you were like...
That's an interesting... Yeah, okay.
That you were like going to be like Freddy Krueger or something like that, because I made the mistake like 15 minutes before I laid my huge melon down on my pillow.
Uh-huh.
I happened to be on the phone.
Right.
Just kind of sifting through Twitter a little bit. Nothing happened last night.
No.
And I came across what you retweeted. The video of the reticulated python.
Oh.
Going up a tree.
Yeah.
I'm getting chills just talking about it right now.
Right.
That thing, like, I'm convinced. It was like the
movie, the trailer that's running for the movie, Nope.
Yeah. I'm like, hell no.
Right.
Hell no. I looked at that video. I went, hell no.
It seems like this would be a good opportunity for you to talk to Stinkman Freud.
Okay.
Yeah. Aunt Michael.
Stinkman Freud.
Yeah. Aunt Michael.
Why was the video of the reticulated python going up the tree so disturbing to me?
Aunt Michael, let me ask you a question, Michael.
Yes, Stinkman Freud.
Aunt, look at my phone. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Wait a minute. I just went Irish. I got German Irish. Dude, how about that thing rolling up the tree?
Oh, my God.
Right? It's always like, well, you know how they used to say, or you get these, you know, what to do in case of a bear attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, don't, yeah. Like, one of the things that they'll tell you is don't, you know, try to climb a tree. Or
right.
If you climb a tree, like for a brown bear, you can climb a tree, but it's got to be a big enough tree that the bear can't push it down.
Right.
Right, and all this stuff. Well, I was kind of scratched that one off my head because I was at my father-in-law's house. This is years ago before he passed away. And there's a black bear on the deck. And, you know, I think it was probably only 100 pounds. It was a small black bear, right? And so my father-in-law, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a black bear out there. And he just looks at it like, damn thing. And he grabs a couple of pans. Like, get out of here. And he walks out on the deck. That thing, it got so scared, ran down the deck. And I kid you not, it shot 60 foot up a tree. I mean, in a matter of like three bounds. Whoo, 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 all the way up. And I was like, note to self. Right. Note to self.
Note to self.
Being chased by a black bear, tree is not an escape plan.
Right.
Right. Okay. That's one.
Right.
But that thing got scared as, I mean, it was scared as all get out, but it was funny. But again, it was one of those things. When I saw that snake go up that tree, I was like, that is not cool.
That's not cool.
It's not cool
at
all.
That's not cool.
No.
I mean, it's bad enough the damage that they can wreak on the ground. The fact they can get up trees and do that and be hanging out above you?
Yeah.
Like, and just, bah!
Yeah, exactly. How's that again? Bah!
Yeah. Just, you know.
But it's snake hands coming out like that?
Just, it's like whenever I see any kind of movie or TV show, you know, about you know, a group of people hiking through the Amazon.
You're right. Nature's just.
Come on.
Nature's just.
I mean, the
just,
Amazon, come on. You last 10 minutes.
It's like you ever listen to Galfigan? What's the guy's name? Galfigan or
Jim Gaffigan.
Gaffigan.
Yeah.
The dude does.
I think it's Jim.
He played at Purdue. Purdue. He played football at Purdue.
Did he really?
Yeah. Jim Gaffigan, and he's got this funny, you know, bit that he does on camping. He goes, the first thing you notice when you go camping is it's a mistake. Or hiking. It's not camping. It's hiking. First thing you notice, we're on this trail. We're not going anywhere. There's no restaurant at the end.
That's right.
There's not even a snack machine. There's not even a snack machine, you know?
He's got a point.
Yeah.
Oh,
so anyhow, yeah, that python is not, that's not cool.
That's not cool.
No.
If you want to, you got to go to Sting's timeline and check it out.
Yeah.
That thing got up like a 80-foot tree in about time flat.
Yeah.
That thing had to be about what? 15 feet long? 20?
Oh, yeah, probably 120 pounds, 150 pounds. I mean, it was, that thing would just squeeze the life out of you.
Oh.
Oh. That's what pythons do, you know, squeeze.
That's right. That's what happens when I get my pythons on you.
Yeah.
Who is it? Is it Hulk?
The Hulkster.
Yeah. The pythons.
Yeah.
Whew.
All right. Yeah.
Right before I went to bed last night, I'm like, son of a
bitch. You shouldn't have been scrolling.
Well, I shouldn't have been.
Put your phone away.
I should have.
Right.
Just a quick look, you know. I like to sometimes just a quick look before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Check, see what's out there, and then I do it again in the morning just to be aware. But That was my last, and I literally cursed you. I was like, bleep, 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 you stink.
Yeah.
If I have a freaking nightmare about this.
Did you have any dreams about it?
No dreams about snakes.
Did you dream about me?
I did not dream about you. people like Stinkman Freud. They'd like you to.
Oh, tobacco.
We have clairvoyance, and we could have Stinkman Freud.
So I'm going to say a word, and you tell me the first word that pops into your mind. Dark.
Just work carefully on it because
right.
It could very easily just quickly devolve into, you know, then you're doing Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Right.
Then
then I'm going full Professor Zeus.
And Zeus comes in,
right.
You know, you add a little German in there. Pretty soon it's, you know, Stinkman Freud is singing 99 Left Balloons.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
Later. What day? The first one that comes to your mind, und day. Now you have to respond.
What did you say?
Und day. Day. Come on.
What?
Do you don't speak German?
No. I don't speak German.
It wasn't German. It was fake German.
What?
I said und day. I say a word and you tell me the first word that comes to your
mind. What is und day?
Day. I was just unti. I just put an unt in front to make it more German. Und day. So what's the first word?
You gotta keep up with
Stinkman Freud.
I gotta ask, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? Love it. Big finish. Here we go. New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody, music.
Well, that is one segment we'll never get back, but that was fun. Good way. We got a text here. Ian in South Carolina, you guys really are the best way to wake up. So
we woke you up
with reticulated pythons. So, seriously, check out the video.
That is,
yikes.
It's the stuff
you don't of want. Nightmares. Training Camp 2022, ready to ride, our analysis presented by Mountain High Appliance. All right, we're going to play a little game. Got a little game coming up. When it comes to what we have seen so far from Broncos training camp, the key storylines. Are these storylines whole milk, 2%,
ooh,
or skim?
Mm.
That's next.
Mountain High Appliance presents Training Camp 2022, ready to ride. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
You know, in our business, you like to get to this point of training camp, kind of the calm before the storm, before the Cowboys roll into town, before we start playing preseason games, kind of assess where we are to this point and talk about the key storylines that have developed over the course of camp. Anybody can do that.
Uh-huh.
We like to put our own little spin on it.
Okay.
Like to make it fun. Have a little game.
Ooh.
I know you love games.
Oh, I do.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm going to bring up a camp storyline.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me if that storyline is whole milk.
All right.
2%.
Mm-hmm.
Or skim. Meaning, if it's whole milk, that's a big storyline. That's camp.
Yeah.
2% skim is just like, come on.
Let me see here.
Diamond.
Quit making a big deal. Quit making a mountain out of a molehill.
Okay. All right, then. All right. Okay. Do the Broncos have enough at wide receiver after Tim Patrick went down? Is that a whole milk storyline, 2%, or skim? Do they have enough?
Do they have enough? I am going to say, I'm going to go 2%. See, because I think that whole receiver room, and I heard the promo with Brandon Marshall, and like all that said is great. On paper, it looks okay. I think it's got the potential to be special. It's got all those things, Mike. But you know what? We won't know until they put on a uniform, some of these young kids, and they go out there and perform during the preseason games and during the regular season games. And we won't know. Jerry Jeudy's probably not going to play a lot. We won't know if he overcomes the drop seas and if he does all the extra work to get himself to where he is, you know, the most viable receiver, the first round guy. So there's just a bunch of stuff that we don't know. So it's kind of an incomplete grade. Does it have the potential to be a whole milk room? Absolutely. But you know what? If they don't live up to the potential, then they become skim really quick, especially if Jerry Jeudy doesn't live up to the potential.
You know, you're kind of rooting for something that will disprove a point that you've been making for years.
What's that?
You're rooting for Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler to justify everything that John Elway did on draft day,
mm-hmm.
that you were very vocal and criticized in the moment and after the moment.
Yeah.
Drafting a receiver in the first and second round. Yet you are rooting for him to ultimately be proven right.
Well, okay, so that will never actually, you know, I'm like that reticulated python. Like I can slither up the tree really quickly and slither back down it. Here's the deal. He'll never be right for those draft picks. That will never be right. Two things have had to happen, but they didn't happen. You got to get a quarterback to make those receivers, mm-hmm. right? You've finally gotten the quarterback, and you went back-to-back receivers, and you had a chance to bolster your football team instead, and you didn't. So there's got to be this confluence of positive things that have to come together to
but
make...
But we've arrived at that moment.
To make that work.
We've arrived at that moment where these two need to justify where they were taken. And if they do, then you need to admit you were wrong.
No,
it looks
no,
like
no,
a genius.
No, no, no. That's that. I see what you're doing. And it's a valiant
effort.
You
see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
What
it's
am
a
I doing?
Valiant effort, Sir Lancelot. But it's not, you know, you're not going to get me. You're not going to get me. No, that will never be back-to-back wide receiver in the first and second round. It will never be the right decision. Ever. Ever.
Okay. Well, check back with me at the end of the season, because if this is a 26-27 point per game offense, it's Russell Wilson throwing 35 touchdowns.
Right. So it's a 26.
A huge reason will be the performances of Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler.
So it's if Drew Lock stayed here and those guys just developed, they would be a 26-27 point offense. Or, I mean, fill in the blank. If it's Case Keenum or if it's one of the, come on. You know it's the quarterback that makes those guys great. Now, some of them are great, and some of them are, you know, are supremely gifted and all that stuff. But if still, you're not winning, you're not scoring 27, 28 a game if you don't have the right quarterback. So we've already established that. I see what you're doing.
Well,
it's a good effort.
I think the discussion, and you added in terrific use of the Brandon Marshall interview on the weekend, which was very good. Yes, then I think do the Broncos have enough at wide receiver after Tim Patrick went down storyline is definitely a whole milk storyline. It's a whole milk storyline. The storyline itself is whole milk.
The storyline. The storyline is
a huge story. It's a huge story.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It's a huge key.
All right, I didn't play the game right.
No, the storyline. The storyline.
The storyline is. I agree with you.
It's a big storyline. Right.
The storyline is great. 100%. I guess I misinterpreted the game. The storyline is great. It's 100% whole milk.
Yeah.
But whether they are a whole milk group or not.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I. Good. I'm sorry. I took way too long on that. I didn't understand the game. I didn't understand the rules.
It was a good discussion.
Yeah, okay. Give me one more.
One more. Ooh, okay.
Or should I give you, can I give you one just off the top of my head?
Sure. You can, yeah.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so
this is fun.
See if I can play this game.
All right.
So yesterday I spent time on the phone with Tom Telesco,
GM
of the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
So I spent some time talking to him. Was great. Guy was awesome. Anyhow, long story short, after we have a practice with the Dallas Cowboys, the Cowboys go out. I think they're in Los Angeles. They practice in Oxnard.
Practice in California.
Right, they practice in California. So they are also going to have joint practices with the Chargers. But the difference is the Chargers and the Cowboys are getting together for 2 days.
I see where you're going.
So 1 day of joint practice is that whole milk, 2%, or skim milk?
It's two. It's 2%.
Needs to be 2 days, right?
I was talking about this with people yesterday. I don't understand the 1 day. I don't understand the 1 day because part of what made the last time we had one of these when San Francisco came in here, what made it so great was how dominant San Francisco was that first day.
Right.
And how much and how highly anticipated day two was to see how the Broncos would bounce back.
Right.
But you only got that because it was 2 days.
Correct.
No, I think the one day is, yeah, it's 2%. You're leaving me wanting more. And I don't think you're getting as much out of it as you could, which probably leads to another storyline, which is probably the biggest storyline of everything that's been discussed so far over the first couple of weeks of camp. We'll get to that in the Morning Brew next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Pure energy. Pure energy.
Some great competition. You want to see those guys step up. I think the best thing about going against a team like Dallas is just going against different people is always great, but it's also a completely different scheme than what we face. I think that's something we're always looking for. Is, you know, you go against this defense day in and day out. You understand the intricacies on how to beat it, but now you're facing a completely different animal with what Dallas is going to bring in here. So one, it's about being able to adjust on all the things that we've been working on up to this point. And then at the same time, watch those guys compete and get after and play together.
Listen, I know that Nathaniel Hackett insists that what they're doing out there is really beneficial. They're getting a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're not seeing a lot of hitting and thumping and things like that. Okay, I'll take his word for it, but it has certainly caused me to really lower my expectations for this 1 day. By the way, only 1 day, not 2 days, of joint practices with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm really kind of lowering my expectations as to exactly what we're going to see out there. I just wonder how much real competition are we going to see between these two teams?
There'll be real competition.
Will there be real competition? Yeah. Or will this thing be set up, again, to be safe, to avoid a lot of contact, a lot of mental reps, things like that? Will we really see these guys get after
it? Yeah, when you're facing another team. Remember that first scrimmage against the 49ers since you brought it up? 49ers just came out and, I mean, they beat the snot out of
opened a can.
Yeah, it was not even close. And then, you know, the Broncos regrouped and basically watched the film and watched the butt whipping that ensued. And the rest is history. You know, they kind of evened up the match the next day. But the bottom line is when you're competing against another team, different dudes you don't know, dude, that's like game day, man. There's certainly some energy and some you know, butterflies and everything else. So, no, that'll be, except for Russell, because he doesn't get nervous.
I just hope the
practice... I am not built that way.
I am sure that the players want to compete. I am just hoping that the coaches, for both sides, allow these guys.
Well, there
set
will
up
be,
a practice
right.
designed to really allow the, these guys to compete.
Here's the deal. There will be some scripting, Mike, of saying, hey, guys, can, in this particular blitz pickup period or whatever... well, blitz pickup period is that. That's not a good example. In this particular, we're going second down and seven plus. All right, can you in this period give us seven reps of man out of our 12 reps we're going to take or 10 reps we're going to take? Can you give us six reps of man because we need some man to man work? Like you can script that, and then you know, hopefully your players aren't cheaters and they're not script readers, because you know there's nothing that bothers me more than script readers.
You hate script readers.
I do not like script readers. So you can manipulate the practice, and then Dallas can come back and go, okay, but we need this from mm-hmm. you guys. And you're like, okay, great.
I hope so. I hope so. And I hope they do it for a good solid 2 hours. I hope it's not, you know, you're over there on this field and we're over on this field for an hour and 15 minutes and then we get together and hang out for 45. Hey,
Beaver, this guy over here, writing checks that other people have to cash, right?
I hope they beat him up for 2.5 hours. I'm not going to be satisfied unless I see...
Are you not entertained? Right. Next on the Morning Brew.
I don't think there's anything I'm trying to find out about myself so much as just, you just don't know till you experience it, right? Just more so getting into the moment. It's our operation. As much credit and blame as the coordinators get, you know, it's a collaborative effort in terms of getting the game plan ready, the execution and the delivery of the calls to the players in game. And so all that stuff, we're all working together on it.
Ejiro Evero, the new defensive coordinator. And we talk about the key storylines for this season. We haven't really spent a lot of time talking about it because they haven't started playing games yet, but how do these first-time coaches in new roles handle the speed of games? Because, unfortunately, we've become experts here in Broncos country the last 5 years watching overmatched coaches where the flow, the speed, the pace, the moment that occurs during games, it's too big for them.
Yeah.
And they're playing catch up the whole time.
Right.
Or they never catch up.
Yeah, and we have seen that. Like, we have seen that. And everybody we've talked to that's a first-time play caller, it's all good in practice, you know, where you huddle up and there's no pace to the game and blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's scripted. Like, calling plays is a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody I have talked to across the board, across the league, that becomes a first-time play caller, be it defensively or offensively, they all say the same thing. Man, I don't want to use the word overwhelmed, I'm paraphrasing, but just kind of overwhelmed at how fast you have to make a decision. And then your ability to work ahead. And I think there's some guys that never actually can do that. Your anticipatory skills as a play caller going, okay, we're going to run this 3 or 4 times and we're really setting up something else, but we're running this play knowing that this is a kind of quote unquote, call whatever you want, tank play. Like we're hitting the tank on this one and, you know, we're going to get our 2-3 yards and that's going to be good because it's going to set something else up. And having the confidence to do that and to know that you're going to be able to put drives together, even though that play may be not the best play in your playbook. You know what I mean? Like that's the issue.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Obviously, we base our reps off the offense and defense, when we can play guys, but it's an important evaluation for those guys. We're trying to put the guys in the best positions to allow them to make plays, but it's up to them to execute our techniques and fundamentals from practice and apply them to the game. So it'll be big for a lot of guys to show what they can do.
Dwayne Stukes, first time special teams coach for the Broncos, and he's right, because as we look forward to these 3 preseason games, face it, you're just not going to see the starters playing that much. It's just not going to happen. So what is the importance of these games? Yeah, I mean, guys can make a team and really carve out a role just by what they do on special teams. Maybe, just maybe. Finally, we can have a special teams unit the Broncos fans can be proud of. I mean, it's been rough.
It's been
for a long time around here.
It's been.
His ceiling is this guy.
Colorful special teams coaches.
Right.
Who can't. They give us great sound bites, but they can't coach. Well, has it been coaching or has it been Nothing wrong with the coaching, just lousy personnel.
No, I think a lot of it has to do with coaching, but I also think a lot of it has to do with depth. I think that you always kind of look at like, well, a great evaluator of the depth on your football team is how good your special teams units are. And I think that's pretty consistent with a lot of the special teams coaches and a lot of the head coaches that I talk to is, hey, if you've got a really good special teams unit, you probably have a lot of depth. You've got probably got a lot of guys that if they were on a better football team, they'd be competing for start, like, or if they were on, if they weren't on your team, they'd be competing for starting jobs somewhere, right? Like, but they're stuck behind a couple of really good players that they're just not gonna, you know, they're not gonna usurp on the depth chart. So, like, that's the place that they chomp their bit to get into because they know they have the opportunity to become great players.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Broncos new ownership takes over today as the vote will be rubber stamped later on today in Minneapolis at the owners meeting. We'll talk to Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, about that coming up in about a half hour. But up next, we continue our game. Stank's so happy. He's having so much fun playing the whole milk, skim milk, 2% Bronco camp storyline game. We'll get back into that next.
Mountain High Appliance presents Training Camp 2022. Ready to ride. Here's Schlereth and Evans. Just keep your eyes on me. I said
you're holding back. Just shut up. Playing the storyline game today.
Mm-hmm.
Mark loves games.
So I do. I'm a giant child.
So the idea is simple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Over the first couple of weeks at camp, some of the key storylines that have developed. And are these important storylines? Should we make a big deal out of them? Are they sort of important or are they not that important at all? So we're assigning either it's a whole milk storyline, 2%, or it's just pure skim. All right, here's one for you.
Okay.
Russell Wilson's short passing game makeover as a storyline. It's been an area of focus.
Sure.
To mixed results. And there's part of me that sees the benefit and the idea behind it. Hey, you're getting a little bit older. You're heading into the second half of your career. Let's make the game simpler for you. Okay? Let's not, as you get older, let's not have you have to rely so much on your athleticism, scampering away, running away from trouble, trying to make plays on the run. Let's just get you to the point where you just drop back, stay in the comfort of your pocket, and just slice and dice defenses. I could see part of that. But then I'm at practice yesterday, and I'm watching all that, the dinking, the dunking, trying to get rid of the foot. And then at the end of practice, it's just him dropping back 5 steps and then just lofting a beautiful ball 35, 40 yards downfield. Cortland Sutton climbs the ladder over Ronald Darby, comes down with it, and walks in for a touchdown. And I'm just like, he is arguably the best in the league when it comes to throwing those kind of balls. And I just hope that in this pursuit to make over Russell Wilson, that they don't lose sight of what makes this guy so unique.
Yeah, no, it's the storyline's whole milk. The storyline is whole milk in that as a player, you have to consistently evolve your game. And then as you diminish as an athlete, you should be able to overcome whatever athletic skills you diminish or whatever athletic skills diminish from you from the neck up through enhancing your game. And let's face it, if you can't do that, you know what you become? A fan. So you have to, as you lose athleticism, as you have injuries, as those things happen to you, you damn well better grow your game. That's what has to happen. So it's a whole milk storyline. It's a big time story because you want to talk about Russell Wilson. Like the deep ball, that's not going away. But if we've learned anything from the Pat Shurmur offense, it's not a sustainable form of offense. You just can't say, hey, man, Pat Shurmur, you know, I'm Vic Fangio,
And the thing I like about Pat Shurmur is all the deep shots he takes. We need more
deep shots.
Oops, wrong one.
Yeah.
He was high.
Yeah, that's what
Yeah.
Still learning this thing.
But
it's training camp.
But, you know, I mean, you can't, you go, oh, we're going to chuck it deep. No, you got to set that stuff up. And then when the broken play happens, scramble around, make some time, and then find a dude, right? Then it becomes just street yard ball. And Russell Wilson's got, I mean, he's got that ability. He's got it stacked one on top of another. He's got that. So it's the other things. And it's the exact same process that I talked to Aaron Rodgers about going through Matt LaFleur and, obviously, Nathaniel Hackett. It was, trust us to take some of that weight off your plate. Trust us to do the work for you. Trust the scheme that we have developed to take that weight off your... Hey, there's going to be plenty of time for you to make decisions at the line of scrimmage. There's going to be plenty of times for you to be in third down situations or second down and long situations where you've got to change a play, where you're going to have the authority to do all that stuff. And the game is stressful enough when that's all you're worried about. Let us worry about the other garbage. You worry about, you know, converting on third downs. You worry about the critical moments because there will be a ton on your plate. So I think this is, I think it's a huge storyline. And frankly, having done 10, 12 Seattle games over the last 5 years, it's the thing that of his game that I think needs, I think that's the one area that I look at and go, wow, if he just did this, now you're going from 67% completion to 71% completion rate. Now, all of a sudden, you're keeping a couple of drives alive, and now, you know, you're taking your offense to the next level where you're scoring, instead of 26 points a game, you're scoring 30 points a game. Like, that to me is the evolution that he's walking through right now. And frankly, I look at the coaching staff and I applaud Nathaniel Hackett and the rest of the offensive coaches for understanding that as well.
Why did Matt LaFleur feel that Aaron Rodgers had to fix his game? Why did he have to change his game?
It's okay, so it's an interesting question because I've talked to Matt about it. I've talked in ad nauseum with Sean Payton about it. And it all comes back to the same thing. There is so much on your plate as a quarterback, so much on your plate that it's more about the mental exhaustion of the preparation for the week and during the course of the game, that if we can take some of that off, where we can have a couple of plays where there is no exhaustion, that you like it's so simple you don't even have to think about it, then you can be fresher at the end of a game mentally. It's not the physical stuff, right? The quarterback is not, let's face it. I mean, they wear pink jerseys during the week. The physical part
They're not pink. They're red.
They're, by the middle of the season, they're pink. They become very pink. So they wear these pink jerseys. Glitter on them.
Oh, jeez.
Boas.
Oh, my God.
And so... But we're trying to take the mental stress off the guy. So if you can say, hey, let's like the weight of the game plan. Let's say the weight. It's like Mike, you carrying. It's the difference between carrying the suitcase, your carry on, through the airport, and you're the furthest gate away, and you don't have wheels on your suitcase, versus wheels on your suitcase. How much lighter is your load when you finally get to the gate? Or do you just flop down when you get... you understand.
Great analogy. Sure.
Right. So that's what you try to do is saying, man, we're putting wheels on the suitcase for you. So as you're dragging it through the airport, because let's face it, you got to know everything when you're the quarterback, man. You got to know formations, the motions, the checks, the protections, the... Who's hot? Who's not? How can we cheat the protection? I mean, the load of the mental load on you is like, it's one of them carry-ons that shouldn't be a carry-on, but TSA lets you through with it, you know, and then you take the wheels off of it. It's one of those carry-ons. You know the dude that shoves a carry-on and you're looking at him and he's fighting with it and sweat's dripping off and you're like, hey, moron.
Yeah.
That's not a carry-on.
Sometimes maybe the best way to really get a glimpse at the American condition is to just, as you're boarding a plane and you're at the front of the plane and you just have that moment to just kind of stand there and watch as people try to pack their luggage up above. It's a great insight into the human condition, I think.
I agree with you.
It really is. To see what people think will work.
Yeah, well,
or what they're capable of.
Right. And the other thing is it really shows you just who's a selfish turd.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I'm like, really? Really, you took that back? Really, you decided that that was okay and you didn't need to check that?
Right. Exactly.
This is sad.
Yeah.
It is, what Chris Myers.
Yeah, it is. It's like, what an asswipe you
yes,
are.
Yes, exactly.
And then you're struggling, trying to, you know, I'm like, I don't know, maybe take something out. Right?
And then you get the exasperated flight attendants who are just like looking at it going, all right, I'm going to have to turn that one around, that one around, that one around.
Right.
You know, and they're coming in and fixing all your work that you did wrong. And,
right.
Like I said, I'm a check bag type guy. I guess I've been, knock on wood, I've been lucky over the years. I've never had an issue with losing my bag. So I check bags. So it's always kind of fun.
I do not check. I go with carry on, but I have the standard carry on that fits properly in the overhead, and I just pack light. Like, I pack, if I got to wear a T-shirt twice, I'll wear a T-shirt twice. That doesn't bother me. Now, I will pack a couple extra pair of underpants because...
Well, yes.
Because you never know.
You never know.
When you're going to have a tough time differentiating.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
Great advice there, Bolsey. Coming up, four down territory next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.